Today's message kind of changed as I was getting ready for it, and I'm going to title it, When Your Words Matter. When Your Words Matter. And there's a time when your words matter, and that time is all the time. It's all the time. When do my words matter? Now. Right now, in this situation that you're in, the situation that's going to happen later this afternoon, the situation that's going to happen at work tomorrow, now's when your words matter. And I realize that the study we're doing today has been misused. It has been misunderstood. It has also been avoided. I grew up in the beginning of what's known as the faith movement, which is really just the word of God being preached. But it had to be a movement because apparently that had kind of lost its power. People had kind of forgotten the power of God's word and to speak God's word over their situations. And so God raised up some men who brought us back to that truth, back to that revelation. And I was honored to get to be around some of those great ministries and to be friends with them on a personal level. So I heard the negative side from the critics, but just know, when anything's attacked so viciously, there's probably a truth in there that the enemy doesn't want us to see. And so we're not going to avoid it just because it's been called blab it and grab it, name it and claim it, and all of those things, because there's a truth. There's a truth that we have to know if we're going to overcome the circumstances of life. Now, if you just want to go and float wherever the wind blows you, you don't need this message. But if you want to be able to change circumstances and situations, not just for yourself, but if you want to help other people overcome life circumstances, this is the word you've got to know. This is the truth that you've got to know. And I, for one, don't like going where the wind blows me. I want to be able to walk in this power, this authority that God gave us through His Word and through Jesus Christ. So it's just impossible to study the subject of faith and not investigate the mission of the spoken word. So go with me to Mark 11, and we're going to start reading a little earlier, a little sooner in the passage than what you're used to probably when we talk about faith. Mark 11, I'm reading out of the King James Version. Happy King James people. I heard John did that last week too. And the reason I did it on the King James Version is because I can't read it out of any other version. I heard the King James Version so long, Martha, that try to read it in another version, it doesn't come out. So, Mark 11, verse 11. Now, you have to remember what just happened here. The whole Palm Sunday, Jesus entering Jerusalem, a great celebration. And then in verse 11, it says, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, and he went out unto Bethany with the 12. So he goes into the temple, the Jewish temple, and he looks at what's going on. And we can't overlook that point, Robbie, because that's really part of this lesson that he's fixing to go into. It's not where we're dwelling on it today, but he saw a situation. He saw the religious system. He knew he had come to bring us a new commandment. He knew he had come to fulfill the law. He also saw a lot of traditions of man that had been added to God's original intent. He saw all this stuff going on in the temple, and it makes mention of that. So he left there. He went out into Bethany with the 12 disciples in verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, when he came to the fig tree, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. You're hungry. You see a tree, a fruit tree. It looks like it's produced, but you get up to it and it's not producing. He's really doing an analogy here to religion. It looked fruitful. It wasn't producing any fruit. He was fixing to change the way this was. He was fixing to give us the new covenant, and it was going to be full of fruit, right? But that's a side note. Where we're going today is we see a situation. It doesn't line up with God's word. What do we do? And I love what it says in verse 14. It says, and Jesus answered. Oh, he answered what? He answered and said unto it. Said unto what? The tree. I know. We would be locked up for this. Crazy. She's talking to trees. Jesus out there talking to a tree. You know why? Because it was lying. It was lying. I like to call it lying symptoms. It had leaves. It should have fruit. It did not have fruit. And I put this in my own life. Sometimes there's lying symptoms in my life. It looks like this is never going to end. It looks like this is going to happen with my children. It looks like this is going to happen with my grandchildren. It looks like this is happening in my body. It looks like this is happening in your marriage. It looks like this is happening on your job. When you come to it, and that's what it looks like, but you know it's not the truth, you better answer it. Because if you don't answer it, if you don't speak to it, it has permission to proceed. And this is what we have to fight. I don't know about y'all, but I'll throw myself under the bus, Wes. You don't even have to do it for me. What we have to fight, what I have to fight, is when we see something that's contrary to the Word of God, agreeing with it not agreeing with the Word of God. It looks like your body is having a physical attack on it. Your brain starts telling you that bump on your knee is cancer. Well, you ain't even been to the doctor. He's already got you planning your funeral. I mean, that's just how quick the enemy can work in our minds. And I just want to say to that tree, you are a liar. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Now, faith and wisdom are friends. If you need to go to the doctor, listen to me. Go to the doctor, but never quit speaking the truth. Never quit speaking the truth. Never, and the truth is what God said. God's word is truth. God's word is the truth. So if you go through something, never quit speaking the truth. Jesus answered and said to it, I was hungry and you didn't have any fruit. No, Jesus spoke to it and he said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And guess what? His disciples heard it. Tells me, Jesus was not praying a silent prayer. This goes against so much religion, Kaylee. You're shaking your head because you know. This goes against so much religion. Look, I can think things silently. That's called meditation. It's biblical. Joshua 1:8. Totally biblical to meditate. But when you want something to change, Jesus didn't send those beams out his eyes and fry this tree. Like you might see on a movie, Holly. You know, like, you know, you see this glow around it. No, he spoke it, and I think it's important that the scripture recorded for us, the disciples heard it. So there's times in your situation, what you're dealing with, that you need to get in a room by yourself, and you need to answer that thing, and you need to speak to it. And what do you speak to it? You speak to it your desire. The way you want it to be, not the way it is. Not the way it is. His disciples heard it. Now, I looked up this word answered because I thought it was interesting. Jesus answered. You know, when something doesn't line up with the word or the way God created it to be, it poses a question. The enemy always works in questions. And we better have an answer. So this word answered in the Greek means a separation or a distinction, noting the contrast or the difference. So he answered it because it was saying something different than it was created. And so Jesus answered it. Thayer's said this, and I thought this was so good. To answer means to begin to speak where something has proceeded. To begin to speak where something has proceeded. In other words, when we notice, now, obviously our words can go out in front of us as the shield of faith. We'll talk about that. John may even talk about that next week. Putting those words out in front of us, keeping things from happening, right? Shielding us from every fiery dart of the enemy. That's not our subject today. Today we're answering something that is speaking into our lives that is not the truth. And he said, Thayer said, it means to begin to speak where something has proceeded. So Jesus said to it, and his disciple heard it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now notice what happened next, verse 15. And they come to Jerusalem. This Jesus never does anything just because. He spoke to that thing, and you know what he did? He left. He spoke to the tree. He walked away. He went on about his business. He didn't sit there and watch it. He didn't check the soil. He didn't examine the leaves. He didn't stand in front of the mirror to see if that knot was gone yet off his knee. He didn't WebMD it. Can I get an amen from the nurses in the house? Nurse practitioner on this side, nurse practitioner on this side. I have permission to say, don't do that. I think John gave the most hilarious, honest, transparent example last week. If you missed last week like I did, it is worth an hour of your time to hear about John Burge being honest. And he said, I hope I didn't embarrass you. I said, embarrass me? I am so thankful that you're that honest with the people that you would say what he said about scrubbing his skin. Wearing his shirt to bed, tucked in his pajama pants and his socks on the outside because this thing he feared and the symptoms he was having, if y'all missed it, it is worth it. I'm telling you, y'all ought to be thankful for a pastor that is that open and honest about his life, because this shows you where people live, and it shows you you're not the only one that has a deal with those stinking thoughts in your head. But he web MD'd it, and you know, it had him dying, this rash. Just, if you need medical help, call Kaylee or Terry. You know, don't try to self-diagnose, and certainly don't let the enemy diagnose you. That's not today's lesson. But Jesus didn't stay and examine the tree. He went on about his business. I feel like I'm preaching Philip Steele, because I gave away that book, and now there's another book that he has, and it's called First Words Matter, Last Words Stand. They always matter. They always matter. Jesus left the word that he spoke spoken, and he went about his business. That's no small statement, and they come to Jerusalem. Jesus walked away from the fig tree. He left his faith and his words at work. Just left them working. That takes faith to do that, folks. And if you're not there, then just keep reaffirming what the word says. I have to do that. Just, you know, when doubt starts coming to my mind, I just go back over the scripture that God gave me to speak over that situation. Just go back to it. We'll talk about that again here in a little bit. So Jesus went into the temple. He began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple. He overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught unto them, saying, Is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? He was turning things upside down, ladies and gentlemen. But you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. Anytime you preach a doctrine that changes people's lives and takes their dependency off of religion and puts it on Jesus, you're going to have the religious world mad. Verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. They didn't see it when Jesus spoke it. They only heard it when Jesus spoke it. But now they pass by and they see the results of what he had spoken. Something was happening the moment Jesus spoke it, even though they could not see it. This is what we have to understand. When we put the word of God to work in our lives, something's happening under the surface. Sometimes it's in us. Sometimes it's in us. But something's working. Don't call faith off the job just because you can't see change. This is when we have to trust the word of God is working. He may give you direction. He may tell you what doctor to go to. He may tell you to quit eating a certain thing. I think I've told this, no telling how many times I've told this, about Justin Carmody having headaches. Now, if you haven't been here very long, you don't know Justin. But he's an amazing businessman, and he used to be on staff here. And he kept having these headaches, And this is back when the men used to wear, you know, suits, ties, suits, the whole nine yards. Kind of thankful that era is gone since it's 110 degrees outside in Arkansas. But he kept having these headaches, and he was praying about it one day. He'd been speaking the word. Miss Marilyn, you probably remember the story. And it just came to him. Loosen your tie. Todd, you do not have to share with him that we told this story today. But you will. I know you will. You know what? Sometimes there's a really simple answer to a big problem. And God's willing to help us. He's willing to give it to us. But we have to listen. We have to be obedient, don't we? Something's happening. The minute we speak God's word, something begins to happen. And if you don't see it happening, if you can't see what's happening, know it's happening below the surface. And one day you're going to walk by and that bump on your knee is going to be gone. And it won't be because it just happened. It'll be because you answered it and you spoke to it. This is not out of your reach, ladies and gentlemen. He had Mark 11 put in here for you because he doesn't want you to just have to live with what life has thrown at you. And Peter, verse 21, Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Can't you just see, Peter? Jesus, guess what? That fig tree you spoke to, it's withered up. And Jesus answering said unto him, have faith in God. That's a small sentence, but it's a powerful one, isn't it, brother? Have faith in God. Have the faith of God. Have the faith that the word of God produces. Have faith. Have trust in what he says. Now, granted, I'm a thorough believer that trust, Miranda, has to do with relationship. You may come up and tell me something outlandish, and I may have trouble believing it. But if Dylan, if Rusty, if Tanya comes up and tells me something outlandish, I'm going to have to pay attention, even if it's unbelievable. Why? Daily. Trust, relationship. So if you have trouble wrapping your head around what God says in His Word, hang on to it. Start telling Him, I'm going to trust you with this. I'm going to depend on you on this. And as then we build a history with God. Anybody in here got a history with God? You know what David did? He rehearsed his history. He had a giant in front of him, an uncircumcised Philistine, as he called him. He never called him a giant. But this thing was big and mouthy. And the problems in our life can be big and mouthy. And Goliath would go out, and for days he would taunt the people of God. I'm talking harass them, Josh. Just throwing out insults at them, belittling them, Riley, making them feel small, insignificant, unable. And he kept them defeated that way. And don't think that that's not the same thing the enemy doesn't throw at us today. Oh, this is not meant for you. Oh, they're great people of faith. Oh, they don't. You did this. You did that. David said, look, when I was keeping my father's sheep, there was a lion and there was a bear, and I killed them both. And this uncircumcised, this non-covenant problem will be as one of those. And he said, I'm going to take your head off you. I'm going to destroy your power, and I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds. Now, he was very explicit. He was making a point. Don't taunt me. Don't taunt me. He knew it was by God that he had killed the lion and the bear, and he rehearsed those victories. I don't care how small a lion and bear is, pretty big victory in my eyes. I think about it often as I'm walking down my long driveway, and found proof of a bear one day when I was out there walking. He had left behind. And I began to think, what are you going to do? I mean, Charlie's a big dog, but she's not. And I thought, well, I'm going to do what David did. And you know what? I kept walking. Now, if God had told me to go to the house, I'd have gone to the house. Don't ignore wisdom. But at the same time, these things come at us. We have a history with God. Rehearse those victories that He's brought you through, no matter how big, no matter how small. Rehearse them and remind the enemy, shut up. I have faith in God. I'm going to leave said what I've said, no matter what you're mouthing, no matter how big you look. Have faith in God was Jesus' answer to them. Have faith in God. The faith of God is the strongest force. There is no stronger force than the faith of God. And He made a way in Romans 10:17. He tells you that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you can build faith where you now have fear. I wish I had written this down, but I heard Mark Hankins say something the other day. It's like, there is no impossible problem. All you need is faith. It's curable. Doubt is curable. Wherever you have doubt, it's curable. You need God's Word on it. And you need to meditate on that Word. You need to think on that Word. You need to come to a place where you can trust that Word. You need to be speaking that Word from Romans 10:17. You can have faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's good for me to know, because there's places that I deal with fear. Yes. I've shared this with you before, but after Wade was killed, after our son was killed, went to heaven, and I really had to deal with the fear of me, something happening to me, and me leaving Chelsea alone. I had to deal with Chelsea and PJ and the kids, or Brittany and Grant and the kids, going somewhere without me. not because I wanted to be in control of their lives or spend my time chasing around the kids, but the fear was there because I feared me losing them also. And so that fear was the fig tree that had to be answered. Because if it's not answered, it's going to take over. It's going to take over every aspect of my mind. And so I learned pretty quickly that I had to do something about that fear. Even though the reality was I had lost a child I did not plan to lose. Well, what do you do now? Let me tell you what you do. You still speak what God's word said. What's the choice? To speak what the enemy says? And we've got to be that determined. And if ever there was a test of my faith, and I don't mean God tested it, I mean the enemy tested it. What are you going to do now? That was it. If ever there was a victory I had to win, that was it. Praise be to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the power of His Word, that He had me prepared. And thanks to my parents, who had me in a Word-believing church where I did not have to suffer under circumstances and feel like my life was out of control. You need to raise, where you raise your kids matters. They're upstairs. How many of you have kids in children's church this morning? Let me tell you who's teaching them. A woman who had a brain tumor was told she would never walk and that she would never bear more children. Well, if you've ever gone to the pharmacist, Matt Wilkins, that's living proof. That's her fruit. If you go up there today, she's not up there preaching from a sick bed. She's a live wire. Her body. Drag her body around the Christmas tree to take the ornaments off and refuse help because she was going to live and not die. Because she was going to move that body. When she laid in the hospital bed in Little Rock and we would go to see her, and I was just a child, and I guess I was a teenager at the time, and she would look at her foot and tell her toes to move when she couldn't feel anything from the chest down. That little German is up there preaching the word of God to your children this morning, and we ought to be very thankful for it. For almost 50 years, Miss Marilyn, for almost 50 years, her partner in crime, I know. Praise God. This message matters. You ready for the best part of this whole thing? Go to verse 23. Mark 11, verse 23. Jesus said, "For verily." You know that's an emphatic moment. When Jesus said, "Surely, verily," He's like, pay attention, boys and girls. Buckle up, because I'm fixing to tell you something that you need me to say verily to. "Surely, verily, I say unto you that whosoever," that is a beautiful word, my friends. You know what I like to say? Dr. Seuss. We are the whosoevers. We are from the Whoville of faith. Whosoever. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea," and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things... Sorry if you're new, you'll understand in a minute. Shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now I want to go back through and I want to work through this. Y'all with me? Everybody awake and ready? What's the qualifications for whosoever? I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. So the whosoever needs to be speaking to the circumstance. Needs to be speaking to that big thing, small thing, whatever standing in the way of what God promised you in the Word, you need to be speaking to. If you're going to be a whosoever and you're going to get the end result of this, this is one of the criteria that you have to meet. Not that you didn't kick the cat yesterday, not that you have done everything perfect in your life, not that you forgot to come to church last week, not that you, no. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, what are you going to say to it? Woo, mountain, you are looking big today. No, we're going to speak to the mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. You're going to look, I keep using the knot on the knee. You're going to speak to that knot that came up on your body and you're going to say, what? Be gone. Be removed, be gone. I want you to know what this looks like tomorrow when you go home and something comes up in your life. Be removed, be cast into the sea. What does he mean by be cast into the sea? Never be seen again. Gone. Never in my way again. Never a hindrance in my life again. Never a problem in my marriage again. Never a problem in my body again. Be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. This is the next criteria. He did not say, and not doubt in your head. Everybody has thoughts of doubt. But you handle the thoughts of doubt just like you do the mountain. When the thought of doubt comes, you speak to it. One of the best things you can speak to it is the scripture that you're standing on. For whatever you're believing God for, you need to know what his word says about it. Find you one. My goodness, this is one place you can Google. You know, scriptures on fear, scriptures on a sickness, scriptures on, and find you the one that pings your heart, one that ministers to you. That's your rhema word. That's your rhema word from God. That's his personal word to you, and you use that word, and you speak that word to that doubt, and faith is the greatest force. There's not a fear that can stand against faith. It's impossible. Shall not doubt in his heart. This is not taking the thought to heart. How do I not take the thought to heart? Well, Matthew 6 says, take no thought saying. And it's always that'll always stand out to you. Take no thought saying. When you start saying your thoughts, you're taking your thoughts. So instead of saying your thoughts, speak to those thoughts. Whatever it is, that troubling thought, don't speak the troubling thought, speak to the troubling thought. This is how you overcome the fear and you keep that doubt from entering into your heart. So just don't let the doubt go to the heart. Take care of it when it's just a thought. It's so much easier than trying to uproot something that you've allowed to grow in your head. He said, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things, we say those things, because it's not just this thing that you're saying, but we're supposed to believe those things that we say. And this is one of those daily disciplines that we've talked about a lot in the last few weeks talking about faith, is we need a daily discipline. This isn't half-hearted in something. It's not a parachute cord that you pull when you're in trouble and you need faith to save you real quick. This will help you if you have a daily discipline of believing what you say. And that's where we just need to clean up our talk a little bit. And I'm not talking about not cussing, although that probably helped too. It should certainly help your neighbor. But to believe what we say, not to say things that we don't believe. I know exaggerations are funny. I know sarcasm is funny. I enjoy sarcasm. It's one of my favorite kinds of humor, okay? But if I'm going to discipline myself to believe that those things that I say will come to pass, then I need to clean up what I'm saying. Okay, that's a discipline. It's something we all have to work on, and we all have to work on all the time. So don't feel bad if you're sitting there going, oh my goodness, she just nailed me. I just nailed myself. Okay, we all have to work on this. Shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Do you believe that what you're saying will come to pass? Do you want what you're saying to come to pass? When you get to work and you and your neighbor are having this competition, your coworker are having this competition on which one feels the worst. Have you ever gone to a family function, Tim? Oh, you better not, since you're sitting with your family. Let's pick somebody else. Have you ever gone to a function and all the old people there are like having this competition on their body parts hurting the worst? And which part is failing the most? Do I feel some pain over here in the Collins section? I mean, it's almost hilarious. You're just like, okay, you win. I mean, you're the winner. Do we want what we're... I know this is tough. It's tough on us. But do we want... And I have to remind myself too. I'm throwing myself right in there. Do we want what we're saying to come to pass? About our bodies, about our marriages, about our kids, about our work, about our finances, about politics. Do you know we're supposed to be praying for those in leadership? Not attacking those in leadership? And I don't care who's in office. That's just what the scripture says. We're supposed to be praying for all those in leadership. That one was free. It's a free message. We need to believe that those things that we say will come to pass. We need to believe our words, period. If we meet that criteria, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, what's therefore there for? To see what it's there for. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire. Oh, praying's not a gripe session. It's not trying to beg God, try to talk him into letting something go that he's holding back from you. And if you make it sound bad enough, can we get 1,000 people praying? It's really simple. What things soever you desire when you pray, this will change how you pray. You're going to be talking about what you desire. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. When do you believe? When do you receive? When you pray. We receive it when we pray. Doesn't say we receive it when we see it. It says we receive it when we pray. You know why? Faith. Faith says if I bring this to the Lord and I trust him with it, I shall have it. Shall have means it's in the works. Hold tight. It's coming. Oh, but I don't see the fig tree withering. Hold tight. Stay in faith. It's coming. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And I'm going to go into verse 25 because it's attached and I think it's an important lesson. And when you stand praying, man, I can just hear Charles Capps right here. He says this is why most people kneel when they pray, because if they stand, they have to forgive. And when you stand praying, forgive. I'm sorry, these people just ring in my ears. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Look, it's not that God's withholding forgiveness from us if we don't forgive. It's that unforgiveness is continual sin. The instant he forgives it, you've committed it again. And the instant he forgives it, you've committed it again. So he says, wait, stop. When you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. He is speaking to those who are calling God Father. So right here, he starts dealing with unforgiveness. And I just want to say, it's what the Lord said to me this morning, this might be the mountain in your way. So all of this that he said, he's connecting, and he's saying you can apply this where you've been unable to forgive. You know what you do with unforgiveness? It's the mountain in the way. You speak to it. And you say, you be gone from me. I will not keep speaking about you. I'm going to start speaking to you. And that is for you to be gone from my life. Verse 27 says, and they come again to Jerusalem, and as he's walking in the temple there, come to him the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, and said unto him, by what authority do you do these things, and who gave you this authority to do these things? And a lot of times when you're preaching this message, this is one of the questions that comes to people's minds, maybe not in King James Version, but more like, are you serious? We can speak to things? Do we have the right to do this? And Jesus said, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we answer from heaven, I think they were politicians, I really do. He said, if we say from heaven, then he's going to say, well, then why didn't you believe John? And if we say it's of men, then they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said to Jesus, we don't know. We can't tell. And Jesus answered and said unto them, well, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. I don't know about y'all, but I have the coolest Savior. I love him. I love how he dealt with people. And in honest truth, I believe that both answers were correct. I believe that John's baptism was from heaven. It was authorized by God. He was commissioned by God to do it. And I also believe that it was by his authority of being a man. Just as Jesus walked in his authority being the Son of God, but also being the Son of Man. And just as you have the authority given by God in Genesis, but walk in your, you know, that was your authority of man, but also by Jesus Christ. I believe it's both. I believe he gave us authority both ways. But nonetheless, the answer is, you have it. You have it. We could argue the other, because it doesn't plainly state it. But when I was meditating on this chapter this morning, the Lord brought a few things to my mind for us today before we close. And I want to just go over these. Number one, you cannot remove and cast into the sea what you've accepted. You can't cast into the sea what you've accepted. And a lot of times this is a hard truth, because I see people accept sickness and disease as identity, part of their life identity. I've seen people not sure if they wanted to be healed because they would lose their disability check. I've seen people live off of grief and never let God heal the brokenhearted. I deal with that one a lot with different people. There's just lots of different things that we can accept, and if we've accepted it, we cannot remove it. So there has to be a moment where we go, you know what? That's not who I am. I am not a diabetic. I am not a cancer survivor. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, which means that happened, but it's as if it never did, because my body's going to walk in health for the rest of my days. There's just this mindset that's different when we haven't accepted. And what you set your words in agreement with. And that's why I hate some rehabs for addictions, because they keep you living in the addiction. Like, you have to say every day that you're an alcoholic or that you're a drug addict. No. You're redeemed of the Lord. His word has an anointing on it to break every yoke of bondage. And so, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There's just so many things we can say there. So we have to be careful what we set our words in agreement with. We want to set our words in agreement with His word. Another thing is releasing your words to command something away may be your first act of faith. Just changing your words. I don't know how to be in faith. Just change your words. That might be your first act of faith. And it doesn't feel right when you first say it. When you first say what the word says instead of what your body's feeling, that doesn't, it feels like a lie. Well, you're not denying that the problem was going on in your body. You're denying it's right for it to go on in your body, to continue in your body, to proceed in your body. And so there's a difference there. You're not, you know, we went through some of the stupid stuff in the early days where, like, somebody's got a cast on their leg and they're going, my leg's not broken. My leg's not. No, your leg was broken. But it's going to heal and it's going to be stronger than it was. You see, there's a difference in denying and proclaiming. And stupid things like that are really what gave the message of faith the weird names that I don't even like to say. Your words should express your will, not your feelings. My words should express my will, which should also line up with God's will. My words should express my will, or God's will, not my feelings. Joyce Meyer said this years ago, and it's always stuck with me. She said, your emotions will follow your decisions. You can change your emotions. You're not bound to your emotions. Your emotions will follow your decisions. I'm going to say your emotions will follow your words. We need to stop letting our words follow our emotions. Stop letting our emotions dictate our words. This is the next thing he dealt with me on, and this I've got to sit on for a minute. He said, some of you feel like you're in a holding pattern. When he said the word holding pattern, actually Wes said something during praise and worship that made me, confirmed this to me. I don't even remember what it was now. I thought, that's it, Father. That's what you're trying to say. Some of you feel like you're in a holding pattern, like you've been circling this thing, and you just want to land. You know, you just want to see the runway. You just want to see the finish line. And you've just been circling it. And my attorneys used to use this term with me. And when we were in lawsuit over Wade's death, we were in it for just short of 11 years. And there was a lot of ups and downs and a lot of moments where it looked like nothing was happening in the legal system. If you've ever dealt with the legal system, you kind of get it. Well, this was the legal system on steroids because it involved big companies with a lot of money. And so, you know, we went through judges, you know. We were in it so long. We had multiple judges and up and down the system, Arkansas Supreme Court and back down. And it was just, I was in this holding pattern. And sometimes it was real active, which was good for my, you know, that's good for my mama mojo. You know, like we're winning this thing. We're going after these people that, you know, we're going to hold them accountable. Things have got to change out there. They got to implement safety, blah, 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 you know. And boy, it would get my juices going. And I was being Wade's mom, you know. I was very active. And then there would be these times where there was just like nothing. And my attorneys would say, just in a holding pattern. We're just in a holding pattern. Have you ever been on an airplane and you can't land and you're just in a holding pattern? And by golly, all you want to do is see the ground. You want to feel the runway under the tires. You know what I'm saying? And the Lord began to kind of show this to me, that this is how some of you feel in your faith, is that you've been in this holding pattern and like nothing's happening and like it's never going to finish, it's never going to end. But when they would use that with me, they were trying to keep me mentally in, like, something is happening. If you're in an airplane, something's happening. The runway's being cleared. Hazards are being removed. A way is being made. Don't open the plane door and jump right now. Don't jump ship right now. You're just in a holding pattern. The way is being made. Things are being cleared. Things are being provided for. Something's happening, and they were trying to keep me mentally in, and I believe that's what the Lord's trying to do with you this morning, to have faith in the system and not jump ship. And I'm going to quote Jesus right here. Have faith in God. I looked up holding pattern. I'm talking about Worldly Dictionary holding pattern, okay? Holding pattern. A predetermined flight path. In other words, do we have any pilots? Man, we need a pilot. Oh, yay, Lynn, thank you. Whew. So you say we need to believe in some pilots, because that is so beautifully a picture of faith. You've got your instruments, you're flying by them. You know, you may not can even see the runway, but you got your instrument, you got the Holy Spirit, you're letting it direct you, you're hearing from the tower, you're listening to the Father, he's guiding you, he's directing you, he's telling you what to do. It's a predetermined flight path. Listen to this. It's used to keep planes in a safe, designated airspace while they wait to land. Faith is that airspace that we stay in while we're waiting to land. It's safe. If you need any direction, you're going to hear on exactly what to do. It says the pattern is anchored to a specific navigational point called a fix. The pattern is anchored to a specific navigational point called a fix. And the Lord took me in thought to Psalm 57:7, Psalm 108:1, where the psalmist declares, "My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed." He says it twice. My heart is fixed. What? It's on your word. That's my navigational point. Everything else has to revolve around that navigational point. Every pattern in my life has to go around that navigational point. My pattern is anchored to a specific navigational point called a fix. And where's Cherie? Oh, there you are, behind the camera. Cherie asked the other day on social media, or I think it was on the RCC page, she said, if you were going to rename the Bible, what would you call it? The Fix. I got my answer this morning, Cherie. It's the fix. Whatever it is, I've got to be anchored to that navigational point called the fix. I don't do anything that messes with my faith, that makes me quit, that makes me look back, that makes me want to say something different. I have to be anchored to that specific navigational point, and I love that. Because we don't always know what is happening, but we can remain in faith. I didn't have a clue about the legal system. I could be an attorney now. I think I could pass the bar. But at the time, this was a whole new world, and it was a whole new navigation. But there's one thing I could do, even though I did not know what was happening. I could remain in faith. You may not know what's going on, what the doctor's diagnosis are, what they plan to do, or what's going on inside of your body. The doctors may not even know what's going on inside of your body, but there's one place you can stay, and that is fixed. With your navigational point fixed. Something is happening when you speak the word of God. It may be like Abram. You may be walking through a process of faith. He may need to give you direction. Sometimes he is changing stuff in us that needs to take place to help us believe him, to help us trust him. I'm not talking about him sending stuff to test us. I'm talking about like he walked through with Abram, and when Abram gave Abram the promise and Abram couldn't see himself any other way than childless, God said, go out, look at the stars. You know what? God is here for the process. And it's to help you, not to hinder you. He wants you to receive what he has provided, and he is willing to walk you through it. Abram's a great example of that. He helped Abram believe his word and trust in him. Waiting to land may involve other people. You may be in a holding pattern while God is clearing some runways, while he's making a way, removing hindrances, or changing. If you're believing God for your marriage, that involves somebody else. Let God do his work and rest. And know that while you're in the holding pattern, there's going to be, well, I don't even know if they serve food anymore, but there's going to be provision while you wait. And I'll end with this, because I've always found Daniel 10 interesting. And if you have revelation on it, you can email me. I'd love to hear it. We're not going to go through the whole thing in Daniel 10. But there's this wording that he uses in Daniel 10 that I find fascinating. And it's in Daniel 10:10. Actually, it's further down, but we'll start with verse 10. It says, "And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me," the angelic visitation, "said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. And then he said to me, fear not." I mean, how many times do we see that in Scripture? Fear not. Keep the thoughts of fear out. Fear not. Fear not, Daniel. Listen to this. "For from the first day that you set your heart to understand, and you set your heart to humble yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your word." Wow. I think the King James Version says, "I have come for your words." From the first day you spoke those words, Daniel, from the first day they were heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, and we know they're talking about angelic beings here, one of the chief princes came to help me. This is what the angelic being is telling him. "For I was left there with the kings of Persia and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision is for days yet to come." He said, "Look, I would have been here sooner, but I had to deal with this." See, we don't see into the spirit world. And oftentimes we don't even think about it. But while our words are at work, sometimes there's things going on in the spirit realm. And he's like, "I'd have been here sooner, but we have an enemy. But if we leave our words at work, he'll come for his word. In fact, the scripture says he will hasten his word to perform it. He watches over his word to perform it. So when we speak, God's in action. Holding pattern, don't panic. Don't panic. He'll provide fuel for the flight. No, it was what Ken said at offering. He said recharging. It's what you said. Sorry, Wes. Glory goes to Ken and God. He said you've got to recharge. He talked about that car, recharging. If you're gonna have that energy to keep going while you're in the holding pattern, you need to be hooked up somewhere. You need to refuel. And that'll help your brain. It'll give you longevity. It'll keep your faith built up. It'll help you put fear in its place, because there is an end. And Jeremiah 29:11 says that end has a future and a hope to it. So no matter what has happened in your path, God has a word for it, and he wants you to find it, and he wants you to trust him with it. Amen. You can stand. Thanks for hanging with me. Man, I preach till 12. That's what happens when I'm gone for 2 weeks. God is good.
Yes, he is.
Father, there's a lot of lives in this room, and there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things in people's lives that need to be taken care of. And we're just thankful that we have the kind of Father that'll walk us through it. Even, Father, things that are my own fault, even if it was my own choice, that I now see was the wrong choice. Father, you're here for the process of faith. You stood with Abram. You stood with Sarai. You stood with David. You stood with Gideon. You stood with Peter. Father, you stood with everyone that was willing to humble themselves and seek understanding. Those that want to believe but aren't sure how. I thank you that you're here for the process. So, Father, we declare your word this morning that as we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, as we seek your wisdom, we will gain understanding and we will walk in your truth. And when fear tries to come, we will speak to it and we will not agree with it because we have learned that you are good. We have learned that your word is true. And it's not just some truth out there, but it is true to us. It is true for us. You provided it and you got it into our hands, which is a miracle within itself. Through the ages of time, all the authors, all the books, to be bound up in this one piece of leather and make it to Russellville, Arkansas in 2026 through wars and conquest and changes of countries. And here it is, the living Word of God here to operate in our lives. We reverence it, but we use it. For it was made to be worn. It was made to be used. And so, Father, I ask that you, by the Holy Spirit, be our teacher this week, be the revealer of truth this week. Nudge us when we start to say something that is undisciplined, that goes against your word and goes against what we desire and what you desire in our lives. Nudge us. We'll catch ourselves. We'll take that plow, we'll dig up what we've said, we'll rephrase our words, and we will plant that seed in our heart, and it will grow. And Father, I thank you for revelation knowledge of what you've given today through the power of your word. It is a truth for us to live by, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name.